Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Jesus presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had first seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you. Let's just take a moment of prayer. Lord, we thank you for that lovely description of Jesus being taken as a baby to the synagogue with his mother and father and meeting Simeon and Anna. Lord, we just pray that through that story we can see your reflection and know more of you and be prompted to show more of your love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I can promise you this morning that it's going to be quite a short sermon because I realised when I was talking to Dan, I've left my sermon on the printer at home. I made some last-minute changes this morning and I thought, shall I put it on my phone? I thought, no, I really prefer paper. I like having paper in my hand and, you know, being able to see and write notes as I'm going along and when I think of things. So there it is beautifully on my printer. So I've just quickly scribbled what I thought were my main points on a little sheet. So you'll have to work with me on this. I was going to start actually by reading, there were a couple of readings today, and one of them was from Corinthians about love. It's a reading that we know very well, probably, and I was going to read it to you from the Message. because there's a real intersection between that story of Mary and Joseph showing their love for their baby, bringing their baby to church, to the synagogue, to be blessed, meeting Simeon and Anna, Simeon who'd been waiting for this moment for so long, and Anna as well, who'd just been so faithful in her love of God, and that beautiful meeting that they had. And this is all about love. From Corinthians 13. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and the mountain jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. It's a wonderful promise, isn't it, that love never dies. And in the passage before that one, Paul is talking about gifts and spiritual gifts, and he says that everyone has a gift. It's amazing that, isn't it? Everyone has a gift. That means that everyone here has a spiritual gift that you've been given from God. And love, he goes on to talk about love next, and it's a bit like love is the power cell. It's all very well having a gift, but you can only use it if you're powered by God's love. So we really need to immerse ourselves and embrace ourselves in God's love. And we're given that lovely story of Jesus being loved by his earthly mother and father, by Mary and Joseph, them holding him and bringing him to the temple out of an act of love, bringing their sacrifice. Poor as they were, they brought what they had to a sacrifice on behalf of Jesus. And there they meet Simeon and Anna. And it's this amazing intersection of different generations, different ages, the people who've been waiting for so long for Jesus, these people that have Jesus in his hands, and that frailty of a little one. We've got a lovely little one here today. That frailty of Jesus, who didn't learn to be human. He was human. He knows what it's like to be like us because Jesus was human. And he had his earthly parents to care for him and to protect him. So Simeon and Anna had gifts, and they were in the temple regularly, and they were using the gifts that God has given them. And I guess it's a nudge for us, isn't it, about what are our gifts? What gifts has God given us for us to use? Are we plugging into that power cell of love? Are we plugging into God? How do we do that? Are we reading our Bibles? Are we praying? Are we meeting with other people and talking about our life with God? There's that sense of, with Simeon and Anna, of that amazing loyalty that they had, that amazing dedication that they had. And it was rewarded. We use Simeon's prayer a lot in church, you know, and he talks about being blessed and how powerful it was. And we use that prayer. It's very important. But what struck me, and this is what struck me this morning that I had to add into my sermon, was there's radio silence really after this, isn't there? We hear a little bit about Jesus being taken to the temple, and then all of a sudden he's a young man. And there's a lot of stories missing in the Bible of Jesus growing up, of how he became a young man, of how he got to be that person that then was able to invite all these disciples. And it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes I feel with God, you can ask God, you know, which way should I go? What decisions should I make? What should I do next? You know, as a deanery, we're wondering what to do, and people are seeking God about that. And sometimes it feels like radio silence, that God isn't coming down with a bolt of lightning, or there's not a great big signpost in the road that says, Chris, I think the next thing you should do is this. I have to use that sense of God's love. I have to keep plugging into that power bank of love to think, what would Jesus do? What do I think God wants me to do next? And so in that radio silence, we just use what we know. We use those facts that we know about love. We know it never dies. And we try to live in that loving way. And that's what we need to do as a church as well. We need to love each other, protect each other, support each other. There's a little bit later in the passage where Paul says, we don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. We don't yet see things clearly. It's as if we're in a fog. I think I really needed to hear that this morning, because it does feel at the moment, certainly with our churches, with the deanery, you know, 2020 was such a year. We're still in the pandemic. We're still wondering what to do. We've responded as a church. We've met online. We've sort of altered our services on a Sunday. We've altered the way we seat, the way we're seated. So we've made lots of changes, and it's, what do we do for the next season? We're not quite sure what it's going to look like. Masks aren't compulsory, but what's going to change over the next weeks and months? How do we gather as a church? How do we support each other? How do we love each other? How do we show our love for the community? How do we welcome people? And how do we invite people? So there's lots of questions. And to help us decide and to help us navigate this next step, we're going to have a bit of a vision morning on the 6th of March. We're going to try and see if we can see our way through that fog to see what God has in store for us. And it's daunting, but it's also exciting, because this is a time perhaps for something new, perhaps it's a time for something old, but we need to gather and see where God is leading us. I think we've done our best over the last 18 months or so, and we've been flexible. We've tried to do new things. We've tried to do the old things. But we're in a new season, and we need to keep seeking God in that. In that radio silence between Jesus being presented at the temple and that window that we have when he goes to the synagogue as he's a young man, and then before he sort of meets with his disciples, Jesus was being God. He was still fully God. He was still fully human. There were lots and lots of things happening in his life. We just don't know what they were. So we know that God is with us and God will lead us. I'm going to read those things about love again. And just, I want it to make it a prayer for us. See if we can pray that we will have a love like this. Lord, we pray that we will have a love that never gives up, that you will give us a love that cares more for others than ourselves. We need a love that doesn't want what it doesn't have, a love that doesn't strut or have a swelled head and doesn't force itself on others. Help us not always put me first. Help us not to fly off the handle. Lord, help us not keep score of the sins of others. Help us not revel when others grovel or take pleasure in the flowering. Help us to take pleasure in the flowering of truth. Lord, help us put up with anything. But most of all, help us trust you always, looking for the best, not looking back, but keeping going to the end. Lord, we thank you for these words of love. May love be like a seed in our heart that grows and flowers, and maybe always be reflecting your love. Amen.